I told the saints I pray more than I preach.
Yeah.
Would you join me in prayer?
Yeah.
Almighty God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is still in the world. He's still filling lives and hearts. We appreciate the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask that you bless this message, Holy Spirit, and that you will preach it. We confess that human efforts alone are not enough to preach the Word of God in effectiveness. And so we need the power within us of the Holy Spirit to help us right now. We ask you that you bless every heart, every soul, that the Holy Ghost will touch hearts through this message. And this message will be given out of a heart full of grace and love, and with the only means to glorify God and to be a benefit and an edification. We ask you these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest needs that the church has today in 1992, as we head deeper into the 90s, approaching the year 2000, the need of the church today is men and women whose lives are filled with the Holy Ghost. I have something that I'm going to read here. This says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer. It is not great talent or great learning or great preachers that God needs, but men great in holiness, great in faith, great in love, great in fidelity, great for God. Men always preaching by holy sermons in the pulpit, by holy lives out of it. These can mold a generation for God. And now I have a song. I'm not going to try to sing it. Possibly the first time I heard this song was right here in Guthrie. And the title of it is Come Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness then. His witness through believers won, the lost, and multitudes were born again. The early Christians scattered o'er the world. They preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and to the lion's hurl, they marched along in victory. The chorus goes, Come Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Move among us, through us we pray. Come Holy Spirit, revive the church today. Then in an age when darkness gripped the earth, the just shall live by faith was learned. The Holy Spirit gave the church new birth as Reformation fires burned. In later years, the great revival came, the great revivals came, when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again, we need thy holy flame to meet the challenge of today. What a great challenge the church faces in the 90s. And it still has a relevant message to the world, to give to the world. One of the greatest events in human history came to pass on the day of Pentecost. There were a group of believers assembled there, tarrying and waiting for the promise. Jesus had told his disciples prior to this time that it was expedient that he would go away. But he promised them, if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter to you. And so this promise came to pass on the day of Pentecost. And there was a great transformation that took place in the lives of those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Their lives had a marked difference. Carnal appetites was cleansed. Fleshly desires and selfish desires were put aside. The church that was very young was launched into the mission of soul saving. And spontaneously, many souls were born into the kingdom of God. Peter, who had cursed and sworn, was greatly used by this power of the Holy Ghost. He was so filled with the Holy Ghost that they would line the streets with people who had diseases and sicknesses. And by him going by them, and even his shadow was powerful. It had a power in it, the Holy Ghost power. These men and women who were filled with the Holy Ghost lost their fears and their timidities. And they became bold to declare the message of the Lord. They weren't behind closed doors anymore, but they were bold to go out and to preach the Word of God. A great difference took place in the lives of those individuals. The Holy Ghost come in power. Let us read the second chapter of Acts, beginning at the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it said upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was one of the greatest events of all time, this happening right here. And the Holy Spirit came into their lives in great power. That power is still as powerful as it was back then, today. And the Holy Spirit is still wanting to fill the hearts and lives of those who are qualified to receive Him. Many do not have a clear concept of what the Holy Ghost really is, who He really is, and what He really does. But the Holy Ghost is a very vital, important being. He's a real person. He is as real as God is real. He is as real as Jesus is real. The third member of the Trinity is a real being. He's not a myth. He's not something mystical. He is a real being. Perhaps if He had a name like John or Andrew or something like that, people would associate Him more as being a being. But He is a being nonetheless. He has intelligence. The mind of the Spirit. He has feelings. The Holy Ghost has feelings. The Holy Spirit has feelings. It says, "Grieve not the Holy Ghost." That indicates that He is a being, a person with feelings. And if you grieve Him, it hurts Him. Perhaps every adult in here at some time or other in life has been grieved. And they can relate to a hurt. The Holy Ghost is an emotional being that has feelings that can be hurt. He also has a will. He is a loving spirit. The songwriter wrote, "Oh, how sweet is thy abiding. Oh, how tender is his love. Thou hast shed abroad within me from the Father's heart above." And so the Holy Spirit is a loving spirit. Tender love. The Holy Spirit is responsible for following us when we're unsaved. He can go places where your mother don't go with you. He can go places where no one else can go. And He can touch your life like no one else can do. No other human being can touch like the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad that he convicted you. That he followed you. And repeatedly he dealt with you. He takes advantages of opportunities to deal with hearts. It can be in the day hours or the night hours, the stillness of night, and the Holy Spirit can deal with a heart. He can go into a gambling casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, and someone around a table where cards are being dealt, he can deal also while them cards are being dealt with. He can go right into a bar room. It's a universal spirit. And while that person is getting ready to take another drink of alcohol, he can say to that individual, "You know, your children need the money that you're spending for this alcohol. You know you should be home with your wife and your little family." And some way or other, that drink can kind of lose its attraction. I read about how that there was a time of revival. The Holy Spirit was moving in extraordinary ways. And at least one individual went into a drink place to drink, and the Holy Spirit's presence was so much upon him or dealing with him that he couldn't even take the drink. He left. But the Holy Spirit can go to people involved in all kinds of premeditated crimes and different things. If you feel like the world is bad, as it is, and it is, how much worse would it be if the Holy Spirit was not still convicting sinners? Though sin is at an epidemic portion, though it is rampant and unrestrained in many instances, yet there is a restraining power yet in the world. That if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, hell would really break out on this earth. But it is the power of the Holy Ghost convicting and restraining many incidents that don't take place. Holding back. But he has been grieved so much that his restraining power perhaps is somewhat lifting. The Holy Ghost has been grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved. He's a sensitive spirit, very sensitive. And he can be grieved very easily. It's a serious thing not to respond to his dealings. The Holy Ghost is very versatile. And his duties are many, many duties. This is the Holy Ghost dispensation. And there'll be no other. God regards the Holy Ghost in a high, he has a high esteem for him. If anyone blasphemes against the Holy Ghost and discredits him in a way that is blaspheming, there is no forgiveness for him. God honors the Holy Ghost. As I said, he's versatile. One of his duties is to cleanse the heart of those who invite him in. The song says, "Thou hast cleansed me for thy temple." A cleansing job is performed by the Holy Ghost. Oh, how that is needed. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows those secret faults that you don't know about yourself. Amen? And he is able to work, if you are honest in you, in a way that your impurities and the things that needs to be cleansed out of your heart can be revealed to you. The Holy Ghost, if you allow me to use this term, is an inspector. I worked in the Golden Rule Home as manager for a period of time, and I had some dealings with the state inspector. Now they have, before licensure time, a team that comes out that checks things out. They perhaps, I'm not involved like I used to be, could personally check out the hygienes of the residents. They could look at their fingernails, even look at their teeth. If one was in a bed, they could perhaps pull the sheet and see if there was any decubitus. The old-fashioned word is bed sore. They could pull a sheet off and see if there was any urine circles. They could go to the kitchen and they could check in the pantry, see if there's any evidence that mice is in there or have been in there. They have the ability to go pull open a refrigerator door and check the food. They can, if you would have a room where you'd say, "I don't want you to go in there," you think they'd want to stay out of it? Well, if you have some things that they feel like warrants deficiency, they can fix out this piece of paper. And before they leave this piece of paper. And then they expect that these deficiencies will be corrected. And they'll have a check back date to check about these deficiencies. If you're in charge of an operation where this is going on, do you believe that the person in charge would like for everything to be just so-so? Have you ever heard of a white glove inspection? But the Holy Ghost is a more thorough inspector than the state of Oklahoma. And he can go and probe around in the mind to see your thoughts. Oh, yes, he can. And here you've been thinking a critical thought of somebody that hurts you. They don't know it, but the Holy Ghost knows it. It's a secret, critical thought that you have about another individual. for some reason. You know, the Holy Ghost can put his finger on that. And he can draw your attention to it, if you're honest. And he can let you know you shouldn't be thinking that about that individual. Your husband, your children, they don't have to know it, but you are revealed through the Holy Ghost that you have a bad thought, a critical thought towards another person. Inspecting. And he can inspect the emotions. Those feelings that can be covered up. Feelings of resentment toward another individual. Do you know the Holy Ghost can make an individual aware of that? Let's say this resentment is so great that when the individual is in the room, there's a feeling of coldness towards that person. Giving them the ice treatment. The cold shoulder. But the Holy Ghost can reveal unto that individual that feeling. You know how you feel when that certain person comes around. You remember in Brother Wayne Murphy's book, The Watchman? Didn't Christian even resent persecuted family? That went pretty far, didn't it? But the Holy Ghost's job is to clean these things out. To cleanse it. And he can go into individuals' affections. Yes, he can. If you want him to possess you, you don't hold him out of any room of your heart. Amen. You don't have a keep out on the door to the Holy Ghost. And people can get their affections set on the wrong thing. Misplaced affections. And that can sap them spiritually. And hinder them. And that thing will be bigger than God in the individual's lives if they're not careful. It is the Holy Ghost's job to point that out. You're too attached. It's got too much hold over you. You think more about that than you do me. You get out on your knees and pray, or get out on your knees to pray. Or at least get out on your knees and you're thinking about that. It's too big. The Holy Ghost can say, turn it loose. Let it go. That's a critical time, folks. If you hang on to it, you're going to be quenching the Spirit and grieving it. And that's problems. You put him at a distance. He wants to have access to every part of your life. And he is endeavoring to make Christ the Lord of all the area of your life. In every area of your life. Many people have balked on the Holy Ghost. He's endeavored to show them so kindly different things about them. different learned traits. While people is in sin, they learn to respond in a sinful way. And that becomes a part of them that the Holy Ghost has to remove. Those learned traits and characteristics that are not holy. The Holy Ghost's job is to allow you to see those things about you and to change them. Suppose you're an individual who, when you don't get your own way, will pout. We went to someone's where they lived here a while back, and they was in a pout session. And when there was two others besides myself, and when we went in, it just broke up their pout session. Before we left, we ended up on our knees, all of us. Some people have that in their character. If they're crossed, maybe they don't blow up or retaliate in a real visible display or verbal display, let me say, but they pout. I want them to know I'm not happy. I just won't speak. Didn't Ahab do that? A king, a man in high position, didn't get his way. And so he just went in his room and didn't want to eat or didn't want to be entertained. He just wanted to lay there and pout because he didn't get his way. The Holy Ghost wants to remove all of those things. And when we have all of those things inside of us, it hinders him. That's his job, to get rid of it. But oh, he can bring so many things that can replace those things that have been me all my life. There's more things to be repented of than sin. There's more things to be saved from than sin. We need to be saved from ourselves. The Holy Ghost, we go back to the versatility of Him. He is a helper. He helpeth our infirmities. Those things that we can't do for ourselves, we need a supernatural helper. Something beyond ourselves. And He is a helper. He is a treasure. The Holy Ghost is a treasure. He's more precious than all the mountains and gold and oil and all the material substance of this earth. The Holy Ghost surpasses it. I'd rather have Him today than any of it. The Holy Spirit. He's a guide. We were in Dallas, Texas one time. Not real familiar with Dallas, Texas. We wasn't real familiar with Dallas, Texas at that time. And there was an address. And the individual I was with while we drove here, we drove there, and we was just going from here to there and not getting to this address. I don't know just exactly how much time was consumed, but finally the individual I was with called the party and I guess made an explanation that well, anyway, this party said, you stay there. And so they come to where we was, this individual did, and we was able to follow them and get right to the address. The Holy Ghost is a guide. That was sent to guide us through life. To take us all the way. His desire was, when he first convicted us, to be able to take us all the way to heaven. Amen. That's his desire. We need him as a guide. On one occasion, I was on a tour through a cave in Oregon. And we had a guide that just didn't leave us off in there to wander around. And at one point in this cave, they turned out every light. You talk about dark. I probably couldn't have seen my hand if I'd put it up in front of my face. It was dark. Well, it was not any time for people to get panicked or start moving around and trying to get where the daylight was. In a cave, you don't have windows and lights. Well, the outside light coming in. We were down there in total darkness. But our guide was there too. He didn't leave us in the darkness. Have you ever been in a place in your Christian experience where there didn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel? Where it just seemed like total darkness. There wasn't a ray of hope any direction you looked. And it seemed so dark. May I encourage you that if you have the Holy Ghost, your guide, he won't leave you then. In the darkest times of your Christian experience, in times of grief and bereavement, in the times that it's dark and gloomy, the guide will not leave you. He don't run out on you. That's not his character. People can put you down. And other things can disappoint you. And circumstances can be bleak and dark. But the Holy Ghost will remain. He won't leave you. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. A comforting spirit. Do you need a comforter? Brother Leslie was talking of trouble yesterday. And he talked about one time in his ministry when right here he knelt and poured out his heart to God. Just told him what all was on his mind. He needed a comfort, didn't he? God knew that we'd need comfort. You know how it is when a child's out riding a bicycle and they hit a little pebble on the sidewalk or the street and it turns their wheel and they fall off? and they skin their elbows, shake themselves up, and they make a beeline into the house. What do they want? Who do they head to? This washes off those skinned up places and puts her arms around the little child and gives him a kiss, pats him on the head, tells him he's going to be all right. And somewhere that having an old skin place is just kind of don't seem so bad. And he's able to turn around and go get back on the bicycle. Why? Because mother comforted him. He was hurt. And he wanted some comfort. If you've lived to the age, your mother who give you comfort might be gone now. Maybe those comforting things she used to could say to you. Sometimes when you get in a hard place, you just like to talk to mother. But she's not there. But the Holy Ghost is. He's still around. When mother and father are gone, he's still around. A comforter. We are going to need one, aren't we? We need the Holy Ghost, folks. If I could just stress it, if I could just put the emphasis on it like it really is, we need him. He's a teacher. Holy Spirit, faithful teacher. And oh, there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn about yourself. When a child comes into the world, he's just a little innocent baby. He don't know a whole lot, does he? But you know, he knows how to cry. He don't have to be taught that, does he? And somewhere or other, he knows how to eat. It's just an automatic eating. He knows how to eat. When a person's saved, if they know how to eat and cry, they can survive, can't they? But oh, there's so many things to be taught. The writer of the song says, I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I learned it. Didn't always know the secret, but I learned the wonderful secret of abiding in the Lord. Paul said, I learned in whatever state that I'm in to be content. The Holy Ghost taught him.
That's right.
He didn't have a bed of roses. He didn't have smooth sailing. He didn't have all pats on the back. Sometimes he was in chain. Sometimes he was in a prison. But oh, what an attitude he had. Right in prison, he began to tell the guards about Jesus, his faith. Yes, one time he sang praises in the old jailhouse, didn't he? He'd been doing good. And as a result, he'd been in prison along with Silas. And beaten on top of it. And maybe it was so miserable that they couldn't sleep, but they weren't complaining. And along about midnight, they were singing and praying. They wasn't down there pitying themselves. And Paul wasn't saying to Silas, well, we was just doing good and look where we landed. In an old smelly, cold, damp jail. No, they wasn't saying that, was they? They wasn't wasting their breath on those kind of words. But they started praying. And they started singing. And that touched, thank God, the heart of God. Those men have suffered enough. Sent an earthquake. And shook them so violently that the doors flew open. And they were freed from their imprisonment. When I get to heaven, I'm going to make it a point to ask Paul and Silas to sing that duet for me. But in the time of their imprisonment, they was able to sing. He had learned to be content in prison. The Holy Ghost wants to teach many lessons that are vital, that are essential. Many things need to be taught. The Holy Ghost is a great teacher. If I could only do justice to this subject, to discuss and to talk about one of the greatest beings that there is. I love the Holy Spirit. Have you ever told Him you loved Him? That you loved Him for being so patient, so good and kind? Let us love Him today. Let us appreciate the Holy Spirit. And He has some wonderful, wonderful fruit. The evidence of having Him is not speaking in a tongue in which is not understandable. The evidence of having Him is having fruit. Good fruit. The fruit is in Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I tell you, you can't go to Homeland and buy any of this. But this is some good fruit. And you know, when you get saved, you have some love, you have some joy, you have some peace, and these things. But you do not have the fruit of the Spirit until you get the Holy Spirit. This fruit is born out of people's lives or who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And it can enable a person to do and suffer things that aren't normal. Like Stephen, as his life was being beat out of him by stones, his face shone with a radiance. A glory was upon his very countenance. Why? Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And it radiated out of him. The fruit of love was there. The fruit of forgiveness. Don't lay this sin into their charge. Oh, we need the sweet Holy Spirit, don't we? He is a sweet spirit. If we have Him in His fullness, will we be grouchy? Huh? He'll take care of that. Will we be complaining? Will we be critical people? Will we be people who go around running each other down, the saints? Huh? He might have a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. He is a sweet spirit, a kind spirit. It said gentleness, goodness.
Amen.
Meek. Meek. Making an individual have his powers under control. Jesus was a man who wasn't a wimp or a sissy. He could have lowered the boom on his enemies, couldn't he? Could have destroyed him. And even as he was stretched out on the cross with a crown of thorns, and his feet had nails in it, and his hands had nails in it, he still was restrained to leave those angels where they was and not to call on them. That's power, folks. He had the power to just knock all of his enemies over and just come down off of that cross. Freed himself. But he was meek and lowly on the cross. Amen. Someone even said, if you be the Christ, come down. If that was a temptation, he didn't yield to it. He was presented to the Father without a spot. Through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Ghost helped Jesus through. Amen. The Holy Ghost anointing was on Jesus. The ministers of the day need that Holy Ghost anointing to be upon them. Many words can be said. Eloquent messages. Politicians can be great orators, or have been. Maybe people's writing their speeches now. But Mr. Lincoln could speak, couldn't he? Many things could be said. But to have the backing of the Holy Ghost, that's another thing. To speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus had it. We need it. May God help us. Jesus had his power under control. The Holy Ghost helped him to keep his power under control. He had great spiritual powers. He could calm the sea and they'd just relax, the waves would. He could raise the dead, restore sight, heal all manners of diseases. And that was power. But the power that he possessed to forgive his enemies was the greatest power of all. Greater than the miracles, greater than the raising of the dead, he was able to forgive his enemies. And no resentment, not the tiniest tinge of it, or not the tiniest bit of revenge was present in Jesus at all. If it had been, he had been disqualified to be our Savior. The Holy Ghost helped him to stay free from resentment when he had a right to, didn't he? The Holy Ghost helped him to forgive when he had, according to human standards, a right to hold something. May God help us to have that same ability through the power of the Holy Ghost. Power to forgive. One man was talking about something his wife had said. When she got hurt, when she took her turn to talk, she talked like it had been years since she had said that. That man needed the power of the Holy Ghost to forgive his wife. Power. Ye shall receive power. Even children need power, don't they? To say no to temptation. To treat their brothers and sisters right. To not draw a line down the room and you stay on your side and I stay on my side. Children get into things. The Holy Ghost power. May God help us. Have you had a Pentecost? Is Pentecost a present day reality in your life? Have you had the infilling of the Holy Spirit? It's a great thing to have him on board, folks. I love and appreciate the Holy Spirit. He is a real being. And he wants to bless us. Pray for me. As we gather here in my presence, Lord, come and pray.
338. Holy Spirit, be my guide. Oh, thank you, Lord.
By the promise of the Father.